Hi, I'm Stephen Puddicombe. This is another episode in CFMWS's podcast series about grief and bereavement. In this episode, we speak with Captain Crystal Sloan. She's a designated assistant. DAs are assigned to a family when a service member dies or is very ill. They are the main point of contact between the military and the family, and is responsible for everything from advising the family on the availability of benefits to services, to providing that shoulder to lean on. Captain Sloan says her motivation is simple. She just wants to help.
I'm always on the lookout for ways that I can improve my knowledge of how to support members, especially in really trying circumstances. So when I read about the designated assistant course, this sounded perfect, because either I would be called to action and I would be assisting somebody who was injured, or, you know, a member's family who had passed away, or I would just have this incredible birth of knowledge of the support resources that we have for less severe but still important circumstances. So, yeah, I jumped on the training as soon as I could.
How does it work? Like, what do they teach you? I mean, you're dealing with a subject that's almost taboo in many people's minds. What did they teach you?
It was a really interesting mix of the practical knowledge. So here's where the MFRC can come in and help a family. Here's where the transition center comes in to help families. This is when you need to engage the wing orderly room for administration. And then the kind of more, almost more important emotional aspect, where you're going to be going through something incredibly difficult, either with a member or with the member's family. So you need to be prepared for that. And this is how you need to take care of yourself and be completely honest with yourself as to your own capabilities. So it was this combination of, you know, these very hardened facts. Hey, this is how it is. When a member dies, they're entitled, their family is entitled to XYZ. And also, by the way, you're going to be walking through a valley of grief with people. And that comes with its own pitfalls. And this is how you should take care of yourself with that. So it was a really interesting course.
Crystal, you do your course. Roughly 2 months later, you get that first call.
Yeah.
What goes through your head?
It was like, oh my God, I hope I paid attention, because this is real. It would have been real in any circumstance, but this was a call where a member had very unexpectedly passed away. And so we were now going to be supporting his spouse and his family as they kind of traversed the extensive administration that comes with releasing a member in this way. So it was terrifying. Mildly comforting that I had another DA there with me. We were going to be helping each other. And she had just done this for somebody who was very seriously injured. So she had some experience. So that was a bit of a comfort, but it was certainly overwhelming at the time. And when they said, here's the situation, are you prepared to embark on this? There was no thought. It was an immediate, yes, of course I am. And then afterwards, it was like, oh gosh, okay, this is all hitting me now. Where do I even start? So it was pretty overwhelming in the beginning.
Walk us through what happened.
So I got the call. They brought me in. They said, here's the member's name. And it sounded mildly familiar, but he was part of my unit, so that made sense. Here's the spouse's name. And, you know, the other DA had just gone to pick up the spouse in Victoria and spent the night with her. So she was going to get in touch with me a little bit later in the morning, because she had been up all night. And so I got back to the office and I said, okay, you know, here's my DA checklist. I had all my resources because I just finished the training, so I was fresh. Here's the checklist. I'm going to reach out to these people and start initiating these processes, which got a little bit confusing, because actually the other DA had already done that. So I should have pumped the brakes a little bit and just waited until she and I had a chance to talk, but I was too ready. And then the ball dropped that I had actually met these people and hung out with them socially. And then I realized, oh, And also they were social friends with the person that I was with at the time, my partner. So things got a little bit more intense at that moment because there was that conflict within me. Do I reach out to my partner and say, hey, this just happened? Or is that a violation of that person, of the spouse's, you know, privacy? Because I only know this because I'm in this privileged position. So I had to navigate that a little bit, but it threw a bit of a curveball into my own emotional response and how I went through this. But, you know, we got there and everything happened the way it should have, thankfully. But it was a busy morning that morning. And as soon as the DA contacted me after she had got some rest, we hit the ground running and just started a flurry of administration and going to the spouse and meeting her and, well, re-meeting her, I suppose, and figuring out what they needed in the moment and then what background admin we needed to do to make sure everything ran smoothly.
As a DA, how long was the process from the moment you walked up those stairs till the moment you said, call me anytime you need me?
It's very variable. They tell us that, like, it might be 2 weeks or it might be a couple days or it might be months, depending on the situation. So for us, it was a solid week of 16 to 18 hours a day. And that was right up until basically to have the funeral complete. That was the majority of our real heavy lifting. And then there was another couple weeks or so of getting those loose ends tied up, that administrative burden that you need to make sure everything's complete so that you can make sure 6 months from then they don't have more questions. And about at the 3 week mark, we said, okay, you know, the majority of the pressing things are done. So now, if things start to pop up that you need our assistance on, just let us know. But otherwise, when we hang out, it can be socially or we can not hang out at all. You know, she was kind of in the driving seat of the relationship at that point. So it wasn't a long time that we supported, but it was, it felt like it was 4 weeks of steady work just because of how much was crammed into that, especially that very first week.
On a personal level, what was the most difficult part of this case for you?
Oh, there were a number of things that I had to process because my brother had passed away quite unexpectedly as well. I think it was 2 years prior to that. So it was the parallels between the situations, even though it was very different in many respects. It was her spouse and it was my brother, and you know, the circumstances of their deaths were very different. Going through another grieving process with a family that just lost somebody very important to them was difficult, and it dredged up all of these things that I really hadn't processed. I had just shoved them down and went back to work and tried to bury it quite extensively. So that part was difficult. And actually, because of that, I went into counseling not long after this because it just shone a light on how little I had actually processed the loss of my brother, especially watching. I thought the way the spouse grieved was just so much healthier. You know, when she was upset, she was upset. When she was, you know, she just let her feelings be felt. And I was like, oh, what an interesting concept. I thought we just buried all of that and didn't talk about it. So that was probably the most difficult part on my side. And then, of course, it's always going to be hard when you are swimming the oceans of grief with a family. And so many different family members and dynamics between families you have to manage, and everybody going through it in their own unique way. That was it was hard to be around and to maintain a little bit of emotional distance and not get lost in it.
Obviously, you did this, became a DA to help. You didn't do it for any other reason than to help.
There's no raise that comes with this.
No, exactly. There must be aspects of this that are also very rewarding.
Oh, the entire experience was rewarding, to be perfectly honest. We had, like, I can't imagine many situations more awful than suddenly losing a loved one, no matter what your relationship with them is. So to be able to take a little bit of the burden off of this family in whatever way we could, even if it's just dealing with the administrative details and navigating the military administration, which would be nightmarishly complicated for anybody who wasn't. It's complicated for us. We have a trade that deals with this, that specializes. So even we need to be walked through this stuff, let alone a civilian family. So it was it was one of the most difficult things that I've had to do, mostly because of the emotional burden that comes with it, but it was certainly one of the most rewarding things I've done in my career.
What would make a good DA?
To be a good DA, I think you need to, one, be 100% engaged and committed. You know, you can't. There's a pitfall sometimes the military falls into where they do something so that it can be used as a basis to get more points to be promoted, essentially. That's not the right, this isn't the right task to build your yearly appraisal, because you need to be 100% in it to win it to be effective. If you are doing this kind of as an aside and without commitment, then you know, we're talking about people who are very seriously injured, maybe supporting families who have passed away. You can't half-ass this, because it will be a detriment to that family that's already going through so much. So I think you need to want to do this. You need to be aggressive enough to reach out and fight for resources if you're not getting action in a timely way. And you need to know yourself. Know what your own boundaries are, know what your own triggers are, so that if you start to get too deep and too lost into whatever emotional aspect is happening, you can recognize that and either find a way to move into a healthier area or say, I can't do this anymore. Somebody else needs to take over for me.
What advice would you give anyone who wants to become a designated assistant?
I have a couple pieces of advice. One is to really engage in some introspection to make sure that depending on the situation you're in, you know how you're going to react to it, or at least have an idea, so that if you know you're going to struggle, you set up some counseling sessions to get that venting out, or you know, et cetera. Or if you know you just can't do this one because it's too close to home, you say no. The other is, if you have any doubts, speak to a DA who's actually done it. If you're wondering, oh, I'm not sure if I can actually handle that, talk to some people who have been through it and gauge your response by their experiences, because going into it with doubts, I'm not sure that you would make the best DA. Well, I was overwhelmed in the first hour. You know, it took about an hour for me to come to terms, and then I jumped into it for better or for worse, because I caused a little administrative hiccup that way. But yeah, so you really need to want to do this, and you need to be prepared. And the training does a great job of that. And you'll always have a choice. They'll always say, here's the situation. Can you? Nobody should be ordered to be a DA if they have concerns. So know yourself, be prepared to be pressed emotionally, and know how to deal with that, because that's the most important part.
But for you, it's been a worthwhile journey so far.
Oh, 100%. I would, yeah. I can't imagine anything I've done in my career that was worth more than this, to be honest.
Captain Sloan, thank you for this.
You're very welcome.
Captain Crystal Sloan is a designated assistant based in Comox, BC. If you're interested in becoming a DA, get in touch with the Director of Casualty Support Management. Both the phone number and the email address will be left on our website. Thank you very much for listening.